Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I just want to give a word of context. This story from the chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel is the temptation of Christ. What I'd like for you to remember is that immediately before this comes Jesus' baptism, where God says, "This is my Son." Immediately after is Jesus' ministry into the world. So this in-between piece, this temptation, is kind of a pivotal point. So Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights and afterwards was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'God will give you into the angels' charge, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to the devil, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the realms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to the devil, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve God alone.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So, the devil was a believer. In our gospel story from St. Matthew, I figure the devil must have been listening to God speak, and it's why I mentioned it to you. The very immediate line before this temptation is God identifying Jesus as the beloved Son. The tempter must have been listening. The tempter's encounter with Jesus is not a challenge to the status of being God's Son. That's a given. If you are the Son of God, and we know that you are, everything follows. So the question really is, what kind of Son of God will you be? The devil has some suggestions. The devil is offering something that Jesus deserves. It's in this crafty context. You deserve this as Son of God. The temptation revolves around privilege and status. The temptation, personified by tempter, devil, asks or encourages Jesus to live by his privilege, to take advantage of his status. As Son of God, you can do as you please to satisfy your desires. You can use the miraculous to satisfy your personal needs, such as food. You can be as reckless as you want, and God will bail you out. You can rely upon your status for the splendor and power of riches. So where does this voice come from? It is personified in our story. And perhaps it is inconceivable or simply inconsistent with our understanding of God's Son that it might be a voice internally. But we know, as we think about where this voice comes from, that there is an internal voice calling us to live by our privilege, to take advantage of whatever status we might have, or perhaps to live by the fear of losing such status, losing our standing or identity. We also hear such a voice, I think, these days very publicly calling for our society, or big groups of it, to live by privilege or status or a favored identity. White privilege comes to mind. Perhaps male privilege, American privilege, privilege of wealth. We could name others, and surely you could. To observe the current way in which the temptation of privilege or status plays out on the very public stage that we see it should remind us, however, also how we each contend with this temptation. It's not just everyone else out there, but it's within our own heart and ways and context. So, prophetically, as we speak, as the prophets did of old, it is instructive, important to identify the current reality, how these historical examples and lure and compulsion of privilege are at work. But it is also important. It is our calling not to let prophetic critique stand by itself just to criticize others. For that also is a luxury that only the privileged have. We are called in this lesson, in this Lenten season, to follow Jesus. And this 40-day journey in Lent and in life by Jesus was not a life of privilege. It was and is a life of faithfulness and relationship. And if we reflect on the story about and Jesus' journey and all the encounters he had, we know that he was persistently tempted in one way or another to take his place among the privileged, among the elite, especially within the religious structure. He could have been a very powerful person in the way the world worked and live a privileged life of position, of fame, of comfort. But Jesus sets out in ministry to those who are victims of those who live by privilege. Jesus sets out to seek and save the lost. He sets out to heal those who are sick to death, to empower those who have been devalued and impoverished in body and spirit. Along the way, he even teaches his disciples that their inclusion in this new community, this realm of God, as it's called, does not give them an elite status over others. Jesus lived in a world in which status was life. Maybe that's the world we still live in. And if you shared it, it was to acquire more in the eyes of the world. It was a world in which one lived by challenging the honor and status of others. And again, if you can remember all the times that Jesus is dealing with religious authorities, they're always kind of trying to put him down, make him lose face in the sight of the electorate, if you will. Strikes me, it's very kind of like what the Democratic Party is doing to itself and its candidates by devaluing and destroying one another. When reading through the whole story of Jesus, think about all those times he was challenged in debate for the sole purpose of destroying who he was in the eyes of those he had come to help. But Jesus holds his own in debate with the devil and with those who tempt and challenge him in his ministry. But mainly this plays out. He plays out his own divinity. He gives purpose and shape to that word of God that says he is the God's son. The true understanding of who he is by giving his privilege away, by giving life to others, by taking their status as sinners upon himself. Jesus' life and his giving life to others through relationship, through love, through acceptance, by honoring us all as God's own children, is Jesus' most eloquent and faithful answer to temptation. It is this life he gives and this life which he calls upon us and empowers us to share. Follow me, particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, this refrain is always there. And it is this following, and in his ministry, that the answer is most defined to the tempter. So, if we all are to give up something for Lent, let it be that we set aside our privilege. Let us take up Jesus' ministry to those who have been devalued as less than God's children. that this 40-day journey becomes a journey to the cross then is because when temptation and violent verbal abuse and dishonoring fail, only violence is left. Sadly, it is the dynamic we are witnessing in our country and across the globe even now. When status is challenged and old prejudices and temptations are not enough, violence in language, in political systems, in deadly action emerge. Upon the cross, Jesus bears that broken reality in which we all have participated, even his own disciples. But he does not offer violence or retribution in return, but forgiveness and reconciliation, and once more, the promise of life as God has given it. This is Jesus' true answer to the tempter's question. Amen.